Good to be here today, amen. Good week, bad week, whatever your week's been like, it's a blessing to be here. Blessing to be here together, to sing songs together and to praise God and encourage each other. One of the most beloved poems in all of America is probably the one entitled A Visit from St. Nicholas. Now, this poem was first published in December of 1823 in the New York Sentinel, written by a man named Clement Clark Moore. And it goes like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. Y'all heard that before? We all know this. We all know this, and it paints a very nostalgic and merry scene for us. When you look at what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, it's not quite as nostalgic or as merry, but the literary setup to A Visit from St. Nicholas is very similar. And I want to read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. This writing is so much more than a family's winter nap getting interrupted by Santa Claus. This writing that Paul writes in Ephesians 2 is about how our entire future was changed. Our entire lives were saved and changed, not just here, but for eternity. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We've been talking about that. I don't know what's going on back there. Everyone look at Claudia and Maddie. They've got something on their face there. You caught me off guard there. Well done. We've been talking this month about peace because you hear a lot about peace during the Christmas season. And we talked about, first of all, how Jesus came to break down the barrier that separates us, making all people the same. We looked last week at how Jesus became a man, a person, God on this earth, so there could be peace between us and him. And today we're going to look at the essence of Ephesians 2. Because this whole thing is about peace. It's about the peace that was announced when Jesus was born. Peace on earth. That's hard for me to envision. How about you guys? That's hard for me to imagine, peace on earth. If peace on earth means absence of war, then that's a pretty tall order. There's 3,400 years of recorded history, I've read, and 268 years were free of war. So just 8% of recorded history didn't have a war. If peace on earth means the absence of stress in everyone's lives, then I can't envision that either. How about you guys? No, that's hard to imagine. Peace on earth doesn't even come with Christmas break, right? Because the kids are all off school, right? I know what that means now. Peace on earth is hard for us to imagine. But you know what? When God sends an army of angels to announce glory to God and peace on earth, this peace is much bigger than our human minds can grasp. It's much bigger than what we can even imagine. It's the peace that we can have with God through his son Jesus, who died for us. Peace on earth is God's plan for us to have peace with him. Think about that. And you can look at that and you can say, what? I can actually have peace with God? I can have a relationship with God that is good despite all of my failings? Well, look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2. He says, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You were by nature objects of wrath. You were dead in transgressions. You were far away. You were foreigners and aliens. These are all in the past tense, right? That's what we were before we became Christians. And the question we have to ask ourselves today, where are we on this spectrum? Can you talk about yourself in the past tense as being someone who was dead in transgressions and sins? Someone who was a foreigner and an alien? Or are you a Christian who now has the future God wants you to have? We need to be at peace with God. And to be at peace with God, first of all, we have to be reconciled to God. Y'all know what reconciled means? Does anybody in here still balance checkbooks? A few hands go up. That's all online, I heard somebody saying. That's kind of my take on the whole thing. But anyway, we reconcile our books. You've bought a bunch of Christmas gifts, or you're going to buy a bunch of Christmas gifts, and sometime, probably after the first of the year, you're going to sit down, and you're going to reconcile your accounts, and you're going to make sure they are in agreement with each other, right? You're going to look at them and make sure they match up. Reconcile means to make friendly again. Think about that. When there's a disagreement in your books, when there's a disagreement in your accounting, you got to get it straightened out. You guys remember the movie Home Alone? Anybody watch that around Christmas time? Old man Marley, you remember old man Marley who lives next door? And he talks about having an argument with his son. And their relationship had been put on ice for years. And unfortunately, that's all too real to some of us some of the time. But at the very end of the movie, you see old man Marley and his son, who haven't spoken for years, hugging each other, right? That's reconciliation. That's being reconciled. Some of us might have long-standing problems with other people that need resolved. We might have had a disagreement with someone. Maybe someone turned hostile in the equation. Maybe things were said that shouldn't have been said, or things were left unsaid that should have been said. And maybe for a long time, your relationship with someone's been strained or maybe completely cut off. If that's the case, you're not at peace. You need to be reconciled. You need for things to be made friendly again between you. You see, this story of being at peace with God is very much a story of reconciliation, because our actions to God were hostile toward God, right? God can't look on sin, and we're separated from God by sin. But because of that, God took action to meet those needs. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The Cotton Patch Gospel, it's the first time I've heard of it, but in verse 19, it translates it as God in Christ hugging the world to himself. Hugging the world to himself. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That God, the creator of the universe, can't look on sin, but because he loved us, he made a way to hug us to himself. Do we need to do that in our lives with people we've had disagreements with? You know, right now, there's no better time on the calendar to do that. We're in the holiday season. Hearts are soft. People are thinking good thoughts most of the time. Give somebody a hug you've had a disagreement with. Be reconciled to them. That's a challenge for us this week. Romans 5, 9 through 11 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through Christ, God hugs us to himself. And to have peace with God, we have to have reconciliation. Secondly, to have peace with God, we also need access. Verse 18 of Ephesians 2, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Access means the right to enter. Does anybody have a card that you have to swipe or wave to get in a door at your job? That key card is your access. It gives you the right to enter where other people don't have the right to go. It's the same word used in Ephesians 3:12. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God. We may have access to God. We may have the right to enter to God with freedom and confidence. That's a blessing, church. Think about that. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access, the right to enter, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Having access to God's a big deal. Do you think about that? I mean, think about famous people. Think about powerful people. If I told you that I could get out my cell phone and reach the president, he wouldn't want to take my call probably, but let's pretend he would, and I could reach him, that'd be a big deal, right? You'd probably come up to me and say, hey, I got something I want to tell him, or hey, I want to talk to him. Because we understand access to somebody in that position is a big deal. Think about kids this time of year. When you go to the mall, you see Santa Claus in his village, and what do you see all the way down the mall corridor? A line of kids. They are lined up to have access to the big guy. Kids understand this, right? And we understand it too. But do we look at having access to God in the same light times a million? Because it's a big deal. In an earthly kingdom, you don't just walk into the king's throne room. If you do, you're going to be apprehended and probably killed, right? But we have access to come before the throne of God any time, anywhere we are. And that access brings us peace. You remember how we talked a couple of weeks ago about the temple and how only certain people could go certain places and there were walls and barriers to keep out non-Jews. And we looked at how the innermost part, the Holy of Holies, no one could go in there except the priest certain times of the year. It was off limits to everyone else and no one would dare go in. But when Jesus died on that cross, you remember what happened to the curtain that separated all that? God tore it from top to bottom. The barrier was gone. You see, for centuries before that, that curtain kept everyone out of the innermost sanctuary because it was there previously that God said he would be present among his people. But when Jesus died, God tore that barrier. And it was like God saying, now everyone can have access to me. You know another way God showed he could have, that all people could have access to him? It's the way his son came to this earth. God himself coming to this earth, born to a virgin, a baby in a very vulnerable position, approachable at an inn. Not even at an inn, but at a barn. I messed up the story there, didn't I? But that's access, right? He didn't come to be born into a palace that was guarded by an army. He didn't come to be born in a place where only a few elect people could approach him. But he came in the most vulnerable way. Common shepherds were the first to hear about him. The Magi came. The way he came to this earth is another way to show all of us we can have access to him. Through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. One way we have peace with God is by the access that we have to him. And finally, another way we have peace to God is by knowing we belong. There are a lot of places where I feel like I don't belong. How about y'all? Have you ever gone shopping for clothes with your wife? And you walk into that store, and you clearly don't belong there, right? Amen. That's right. Preach it. We must have this dazed look on our faces because the employees always approach us, right? They always come up and they say, can I help you? And that's really their way of saying, what are you doing here, right? And of course, we explain we're here with our wives and that we don't really need any help, and everything about us cries out, we don't belong there. And that's okay, because we shouldn't belong there. We should have stayed in the car or sat on a bench, right? But what about the places that we do belong, but we feel like we don't? What about the people that we should belong with, but sometimes we feel like we don't belong there? You know, you look back over the Christmas story, and you see how the birth of Jesus shows that all belong. Matthew lists the name of a foreign slave woman and a former prostitute who are in the bloodline of Jesus. Common shepherds. You know, shepherds, that wasn't just an occupation. They were people who were ostracized from the community. They were not part of society. They were thought to be crass and disgusting. And that's who the angels announced the birth to, showing all belong. You see the Magi coming, and we know they too belong. Devout older people are there when Jesus is presented at the temple, showing they belong. And when you look over the Christmas story, the only person in that story who seems like they don't belong is Jesus. Get a hotel room. That's a big deal. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 12 through 13. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, those two words change it all. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Before Christ, we're excluded, we're without hope, we're without God, we're far away, we're foreigners, we're aliens. But now, with Christ and in Christ, we belong. We're a member. And that's called being at peace with God. Here is the very essence of the message of the gospel. Jesus died so that all can belong. Amen. Jesus died so that all can belong. You belong here. You belong among these people. There is a place for you. In church, we need to be busy about telling that message outside these walls. You know, running around this community are countless people who, for various reasons, believe they don't belong here. They believe this is a place that they could never come. Maybe they've been looked down upon or judged. Some people assume you got to be dressed a certain way to belong here. Some people believe that being around people like us is a place where they're uncomfortable, that they don't belong. Some are sure that being around church people would mean they would be harshly judged, and that has probably come from the fact that they have been. Some assume you can't be part of this until you get all your ducks in a row and get your life in order. But I can assure you, that could not be further from the truth. The only way to get things together is by belonging here. Amen? That's the only way. Those walls, whether we built them or not, they are there. And our job, church, is to tear down those barriers, to show people that aren't here they belong. So what do we do? How do we do that? This was kind of going along with what we talked about in Rob's class this morning. What do we do? First of all, we got to look inside. And it starts with being thankful. Thank God for what I have through the cross. Thank God for what you have because of Jesus. You know, this Christmas season, we talk a lot about Jesus and the way he came to this earth, and it's miraculous, and it's awesome, and it is to be studied and praised. But you know what? What he did for us on the cross, that made all the difference. This Christmas, be thankful for that. Secondly, we're looking internally. I've got to check my own attitude. I need to make sure that I am convinced that this is just as much for everyone else as it is for me. It starts internally. You know, one thing about this time of year, it's a very giving time of year, and this is a very giving church, thank God. But when we give, it requires us to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on someone who has a need. And that is exactly what we need to be doing when it comes to our relationship in the church. Here's a question. This is a humbling question. Do you deserve Jesus more than anyone else? Do I deserve Jesus more than anyone else? The answer is no, right? What are we going to do about it? That's the question. That's the humbling question. What sacrifices are you willing to make to help someone else come to know Jesus? What sacrifices am I willing to make to help others see they belong? And thirdly, we have to learn to look at the church from the perspective of someone out there. Amen. We talked about this a lot in class this morning. You know, some of us are very comfortable here, and that's a great thing. And some of us have been here for a very long time. And when we're here for a while, it makes it hard to see this from the perspective of somebody out there. But that's our challenge. Let's look at the church inside from the perspective of someone on the outside. We want to become all things to all men so they may be saved. Let's have people come to know Jesus came to die on the cross so that we can be reconciled to Him, so that we can have access to the Father, and so that we can have a place to belong. You know, church, when you're looking at the inside from the perspective of an outside person, we got to be willing to share. This idea that Christians have it all together is a lie. And when people don't know that, they think they can never measure up. This idea that they don't belong here because they're not good enough, or they're not dressed well enough, or they're not the people we're looking for, those are all lies. And they didn't come from God. And they maybe didn't even come intentionally from us. But it's a humbling exercise to think, what image am I projecting? Am I showing Jesus, or am I showing an American Christian in the year 2020 almost? Because they're not always the same image, church. Let's show Christ. Let's show people this is a place where all belong. Let's hug those people to ourselves so they can come to know Jesus Christ. Church, that's how we experience peace. That's how we can help other people experience peace. Peace is not going to come because of the absence of war. Peace is not going to come because of the absence of stress. Peace only comes by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never taken that step, don't wait another moment. Real peace on earth can only be found by being at peace with God through Jesus. You know, over 2,000 years ago, the angels announced peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And that is really what it's about, church, because that's what Jesus came to bring, peace. He came to forgive us of our sins. He came to save us for eternity. But what's the result of that? Peace. And it only comes through Him. If you've never put Jesus on in baptism, that's where it starts. You confess your sins and repent and be buried in those waters. You come up out of that water washed. Your sin's gone. The gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That Spirit is the Spirit that is going to help you when this life gets tough. You will not be perfect. You will sin. We all sin. But we are here to encourage each other and help each other as we let God lead us, church. Forgiveness of sin only comes through Him. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've lost sight of that peace, you need our prayers, you need anything from us at all, that is why we are here. If you're not comfortable in the public setting, call us, text us, do whatever, because we are here to help each other get to that ultimate goal where we dwell with the Lord forever. If you have a need, we want you to come down as we stand and sing.